This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
What is up, friendos, and welcome into the In This League Fantasy Baseball Podcast. It is officially baseball opening day week. That's right. It's Bogman. It's the Welsh. It's not an opening day episode, but your draft's most likely done. We are going to be doing our final convos before the season starts because this freaking Thursday is opening day. All the teams are playing. Bogman, myself, will end out the day in person together again, and it feels so good back at Chase Field where our hearts were broken last time, and hopefully not this time.
Yeah, at least every time I start up MLB The Show, I have to see the last out, Ketel Marte, walking back to the bench, hanging his head, so... I'm traveling for this religious holiday, of course. I will be at the Mecca of Chase Field and we will celebrate. It's going to be a great time.
Yeah, that's it's how you celebrate this wondrous holiday.
That's right.
Is flying on a plane. Holy day. Yeah. What airline are you taking?
United.
Oh, what flight number?
No
time?
Idea.
What day? Someone pick you up? When I flew into Nashville.
Social security number? What's your blood
type? Actually, you know, it was when I got back, there were like the people with the little signs and stuff. God, do I want there to be people with the signs for you? You know, like just like little bog, like a Brazzers logo, like Bogman.
Like
something like that. Just like, you know, like something fun to greet you into Phoenix. Maybe I'll do it. Maybe I'll bring a sign.
I'm sure you will. I'm sure you take time out of your day to drive to the airport on a random Wednesday. You know, airports are real fun after there's been a terrorist attack, like, you know, anywhere in the world. So, yeah, it's going to be a great time at the airport, I'm sure. So
I'm sure you'll
take time out of your day to go make a sign, a Pornhub sign for me or something.
By the way, I forgot about this and it's just made me think of it. It is a treat every single time and I forget and it will 100% happen. Bogman is an absolute magnet to being extra searched wherever he goes.
Always.
We went to, I think it was the last baseball, I think it was the World Series.
Yeah, and I got wanded.
Bogman got pulled aside for no reason, by the way, except how he looks, got pulled aside and gets wanded. I actually have a collection of wanded pictures by Bogman. You are guaranteed going to get a little glove search at the airport.
Probably.
Sir, could you step aside, sir?
I mean, I tell you what, so I can do the show for everyone listening while I'm in Phoenix is the reason why I get pulled to the side every time. Every time they look at my microphone that I travel with and go, what is that?
Why don't you just put it in your, like...
And they still want to look at it.
Not your carry-on. Don't do carry-on.
What are you talking about?
Do they stop you when they check your bag in?
Yeah, when I go through the X-ray with my bag,
I'm saying don't do carry on. Do the check. Do you don't check a bag?
Are you kidding me, dude? Look. This is the most obvious telltale sign that the Welsh is a novice traveler.
I just traveled. Everything was fine.
Don't check bags.
I just did when I went to Nashville.
I know, and it took you an extra hour to get your stupid. Well, okay. Well, you were in Nashville. You weren't in one of the 10 biggest cities in the country.
When I came back from Phoenix, to check your bag in takes 3 seconds because it's a digital machine now. You don't talk to anybody. You drop it. And then the bag, it takes like 10 minutes.
Well, when I was in Seattle, it took me an hour extra before they got the bags.
What?
Yes. And they made me check my bag. I did not want to check my bag. You don't want
to
do it. It's not, well, look, it's because you don't travel that often. It hasn't happened to you. I don't travel that often either.
I forget you're a world traveler.
Well, yeah, dude, I've taken six plane ride since I moved to Phoenix or whatever. And it's happened to me twice. So, you know, I don't want to spend an extra
You don't want them ripping that glove and doing a little cavity search, then
they don't do the cavity search, but it's always like 5 extra minutes. They always look at it. And what is that? What is that? And I'm like, it's a microphone. And I'm like, this one lady. Oh my God.
Your microphone.
That's
your microphone.
right. This one lady, she's like staring at the X-ray. I'm like, it's right there. And I point to the top of the bag. She's like, yeah, this is an X-ray. I'm like, well, then why are we standing here staring at the X-ray when the bag is in front of you and you're allowed to open it? You know,
I'm sure that goes over swimmingly at the airport.
You know what? They should be more afraid of me than I am of that.
I think they are. That's why they pull you aside.
Good.
They see that beard. They see that long hair. And they're like,
well, especially traveling for the World Series, I was doing playoff beard, too. And I look homeless in every single picture that I took in the World Series because I had the playoff beard. No, I have trimmed up the beard. I have shaved it. It looks nicer now. So maybe this will be the time I'm not accosted by airport security, but I highly doubt it.
I mean, it would be worth doing a live ITL event and having security at the event just for Bogman to walk in and get wanded because it is arms out and Bogman looks like he's ready to take off. And it's just every event I ever go to, we're all in.
If you and Jesse are with me, I will absolutely get pulled to the side. It's like every time.
Yeah. You got to appreciate it. There's no profiling. It's just they pick Bogman. I mean, they profile you at all times.
Fat bearded dudes. Yeah.
Well, it's scary.
I think they pick me because they're like, all right, this guy isn't gonna have anything. Let's just do this real quick.
I think they pick you because they're like, don't trust that hair.
Yeah. Is that why?
That red polo that he's wearing. I don't trust those things.
I don't trust the Kool-Aid man's son. Over here. Let's wand you down.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
All right. We got an episode for you today. At some point. It's a collection of stuff. We're going to go through the latest news and notes leading into the regular season. We are going to be going through season predictions.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Chris Welsh
said you were coming.
What else did he say?
He said you were the best in the parsec.
Scott Bogman,
former Imperial sharpshooter.
That's not saying much.
I wasn't a stormtrooper, wiseass.
Please excuse his lack of decorum.
In this league.
This is the way. Stop touching things.
Last year, this was where I had my Rangers doing big things prediction, and bam. We're going to go through season leaders, divisional leaders, and then probably more importantly, that's going to have, I don't know if you want to call it fantasy relevance or whatever, our shares, the highest shares of players that we have across all the leagues. This includes keeper leagues. This includes industry leagues. This includes NFBC-based leagues and even any best balls. So like some dingers. I added some dingers in here, which probably boosted some of my player pools up a little bit. Yeah, well, it boosted a couple players up, which you're going to hear about. This will give you an idea. I know it's like, well, we're just talking about our players. There might be players in some of your leagues that actually might be available that show up on high shares. You'll understand where we're invested. Maybe you're going to care for trading purposes. Or again, there could be players that are out there. Or you may still have another draft or two. Bogman and I are doing our home league tomorrow, the Bogman Home League. And I have one more DC I'm going to be jumping into. And I'm very excited to see how my DCs go because that might determine next year if your boy maybe jumps into a main event to see if I can do any good placement, to see where my investments, which I'm heavily invested on the top end on some players you guys are probably going to expect, to see if it ends up paying off. So we're going to talk about shares. We're going to do some season predictions and the news and notes. Those are all the things that are going to lead us into what is going to be a full breakdown episode on Friday of this week. So maybe a little bit later, kind of where we've been doing them, but in season, we usually don't do them on Fridays. We are going to be breaking down opening day, Friday morning, posting this bad boy and getting everything out to you. So we got a live episode coming up this week. And then in season, we will get back to our two a week, which are usually Tuesdays and Thursdays or Monday and Thursday when we get those bad boys to you. If you guys want to hang with us all season long, come and check us out over at inthisleague.com. Yes, we've had the ranks list. I'm going to be doing in-season ranks this year, so I'll be posting some in-season ranks on the monthly. I also have Dynasty. I've got Prospects. We're going to be doing P180P soon. Going to be making some maybe adjustment or two on Prospect 1 you guys will be interested in. That's our home base. Join in the community, get in the chats, and may even be putting together like a once a week, like live-ish show that we might, I might jump in there. Bogman will probably join me when he can, you know, just answering questions, talking the bees ball and all that stuff. So come and check us out. Support the boys in this league.com. That's the Patreon in this league.com on the Patreon. Sign up today. And we'll love you very much. Bogman won't get checked. Great first place. I've never ridden first class. Is first class nice?
I've never ridden first class.
No?
No.
Who has first class? Because I drove Southwest and it's just like business class. And that's nothing.
Yeah, they don't have.
I don't even know what that was.
Like, I mean, you're a step away from Spirit on Southwest, where they hit you with the cattle prod if you're not moving fast enough. United, I don't know. Most of them are the two-seaters, so there's no middle, which is nice.
How do you get the pod? You should do a pod.
Oh, my God. What am I made of, money? No.
Yeah, you should do a pod.
Yeah. Okay, well, if I was going to do that, why wouldn't I just get a private plane, you know?
Yeah. Well, I don't think the pods cost private plane
money. More, I bet.
Oh, really?
Than a private little puddle jumper?
I'd like to see you have your own little pod in, like, the first class pods.
So would I. Yeah. I would love to see that, but I'm not going to spend a ridiculous amount of money. Like, the plane tickets are so much that it's like, do I want to take an extra day to just drive this? You know what I mean? Like, that is how, but it's such a
lot. You know, I think I figured it out. I like you spending money.
Living vicariously.
I live vicariously through Bogman. I like having,
this is why you want me to eat three meals when I'm in front of you. You're like, come on. Yeah. Let's get some brisket mac too. I know we just had quesadillas.
But, opening day, we went to Guy Fieri's restaurant. We all had we had a full lunch, and then we proceeded like 30 minutes later to walk over to the I think it's the Bourbon Room, what it's called. And then I immediately was like, Bogman, order the brisket mac and cheese. And you're like, I just ate. And I'm like, we're gonna be here for hours. Just order it. And I was trying to get you to have a second meal.
Yeah, I know. And I was like, no, I'll have this fancy drink. And then that's where we got the great picture. Yeah,
exactly. So. But I like watching you spend money and doing like glorious things. It makes me happy.
I don't know. I don't do that many things. I think
that's why you should do it. That's why you should get a pod. So fly home with a pod.
No way. I mean, I'm just not. Look, I'm bougie. This is the level of bougie I like. I like things to be delivered to me instead of going out and getting them. That is like peak level bougie for me. Yeah. Uber Eats.
You are a platinum Uber Eats.
But that's it. I'm not going to go sit first class for a 3-hour plane ride. You know what I mean? And pay $800 extra or whatever it is to upgrade. Like, maybe I'll upgrade for $55 to the wider seat for fat people. But other than that, that's about what we're getting. So I think it's bougie to not buy Southwest and to go United instead.
I tried to, by the way. I got pushed back to Southwest when I did, because there weren't any flights. Southwest, because it's a what is it? The bus line of the sky.
It's the Greyhound.
Greyhound. That's what I was trying to say. It's a Greyhound of the sky, but there was only no other flights and other ones. All right. Who cares about any of that stuff? Let's talk about the bees ball.
This is your security pat down, everyone listening. This is what you have to do to get before the baseball. This is what you have to do to get on the
flight. You do. It's important
to this. Welsh and I ramble.
I forgot. We didn't talk about this in that NFBC episode that we did. We said we were going to. I don't even know what there is to say anymore, but the Ohtani situation is it's
worrisome.
It does feel like we have a little bit more clarity. He was supposed to talk today. I didn't see what the thing was. He told everybody like on Sunday he was going to come out and make a statement. And I don't think there was any statement, or if he did, I just didn't see what it was.
What's your feel here? Do you think Ohtani was a gambler and he's blaming his translator, or do you think the translator did the gambling and this is overblown?
I think it's the translator. I think Ohtani has this is just my perception. Ohtani kind of has aloof attitude about things, to the point where I'm saying is like, do I think it's unheard of that he could have, that this guy who speaks for him and everything like that could have access to an account and make moves and Otani not like catch it. Yeah, I kind of do. This guy's a big fat liar. I think it became more clear when it came out that he put on the Angel, when he worked at the Angels, he put on that he went to college at UC Riverside. And UC Riverside has absolutely no record of him going to that school. That kind of jumps out. But I do also think it's very, very fall man. How like he's like, oh yeah, I'm just like a bad person. Like I gamble. I have a gambling problem. Like he is super comfortable talking about it. And he's just like, yep. It's me. It's all me. So I think it's just a lot of bad looks, but I think it was this guy.
I think Otani paid whoever was threatening, because they were probably threatening to kill him if it's $4.5 million. I think Otani paid whatever. And then his advisors were like, well, buddy, now it looks like you were the gambler because it came out of your account. And guess what baseball does to gamblers? Is Pete Rose in a good spot right now? No, he's not. So he had to then go, oh, yeah, I guess you're right. That's kind of the aloofness that you're talking about, is he didn't really think it through when he just paid these people. And so now he has to be like, well, he stole it from me instead of I paid them. I guess I think that's the story we're going to get in 25 years when we actually hear the real truth from everybody.
Well, we're going to hear something today. I didn't realize, for some reason, it seems so much later in the day to me. At 2:45 Pacific, apparently he's going to speak. But that's like 2 hours from now, from when we're recording this. So we're going to get some information, you know, and he'll probably, you know, say something along the lines of like, I was duped and this person took advantage and I'm disappointed and I want to move forward and whatever it is. But yeah, if baseball could, you've never seen a situation bigger than baseball being like, how could we cover this? I'm not trying to say that, but they would love to, like, any way that they could be like, oh, no, Otani's good.
If the face of the game gets caught gambling, it's not a good look for baseball.
No. So I think
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
Somebody royally forked up. Somebody forked up. Why can't I say fork?
If you're trying to curse, you can't hear.
Full shirt?
Holy mother forking shirt balls.
What most people care, like, I know you listening, I'm not trying to be insensitive, but like the caring is like, is he going to be suspended and for fantasy and blah, blah, blah. Like there's just the purists that want to have those conversations and argue and stuff all day and whatever. And there's some people that will always believe it. But they don't care what's going to be said. Like Otani is going to be guilty in some facet. I think he's just kind of a dummy. There's a lot of people out there that just like the sport is their focus and they don't focus on the other things. Oh, money's probably not a big issue for Otani, and this guy somehow got a hold of it. Or, you know, to that other degree, he goes to Otani and says, hey, I'm in big gambling trouble. And, you know, God knows where it's going to go. I don't think he's involved in it. We'll hear more about it, but I just don't think it's going to be season effect. And I think that's the thing that people care about. Same. But there was, of all the things though, that picture of Otani on deck with Mookie Betts sitting there and it says Otani Betts is, that's something else. That's along all the year. Of that college basketball, or no, that NBA
jersey swap.
That's all timer.
My favorite one was, there is a video of I think the translator's name is Epe, is Otani and Epe like throwing like a ball of wadded up tape or something into a Gatorade cup, and it says Epe lost $500,000 on this right here, and it's Otani tossing it right into the cup and then going like, yeah, you know, like pumping his fist or whatever because he won. There are some really good ones out there though.
People definitely got some values on him being scared. There's definitely people in the last, like, you know, 4 or 5 days.
Not mine. I drafted an NFBC last night. I picked a 15. I was hoping, but he went at 13. So two spots ahead of me.
I feel like that's a little bit droppy, but you know, he's been going like 11 to 14 somewhere. I had the same thing. I had a couple dinger drafts I did. I've wanted him to fall. I don't know if I have many of any share. I have one share in the Scott White league, which, by the way, I forgot. I didn't share that with this one. So in the shares, but I don't think it affects. Oh, you know what? It actually does affect, you know, that guy that's at the tippy top. I'll make the adjustment as we go. There is one guy that is going to single himself out as my high share. When you guys hear the shares that I have It's going to be.
I got to tell you guys, I hate the Welsh now. I don't like him because I type up this sheet for us every single year. I think this has got to be the most players in the most leagues that you've ever done. And so I did yours first because I was like, mine is going to take significantly less time. I was right. It did. And you have 293 plus whatever the Scott White League is. Let's just round it up to
300.
You have rostered 300 Major League Baseball players between all of your teams this year, which is an absurd amount. And it's like, I don't know, like 15 leagues or somewhere in that neighborhood.
Part of that
is over 10 for sure.
Oh, dude. I mean, I'm going to have 6 NFBC plus TGFBI. And then I've got over 4 best ball dingers I've done. So, I mean, I'm 11 or 12 in leagues that, you know, don't have moves, which has kind of been the key. Like I have, you know, a couple ITL redraft leagues. You know, I had a couple leagues floating around, probably going to simmer it down a little bit next year cutting, but it probably won't be NFBC and stuff that gets cut. But let's talk about some of the other news and notes. Wyatt Langford, Jackson Chirio, Colton Cowser, Sedano Rafaela all made the opening day roster. Big arrows up. Was right about Chirio and Langford. Huge payoffs. I've been drafting a decent amount of them, as you'll see. These are big, big payoffs. I love the Colton Cowser one. I'm looking to pick him up early just to see if he gets regular playing time because he made the regular roster. 6 homers in spring, one of the better springs. And Rafael has been someone I have been taking at the end of a lot of drafts for the outfield eligibility, the stolen bases, some of the infield. These are great gets that are paired with just absolutely frustrating send down of Jackson Holliday. Like I know some people were like, oh, you know, Paul Skene. Jackson Holliday being sent down was crazily frustrating. And then also Victor Scott. I really thought Victor Scott had a chance. I think they picked just some horrible player over Victor Scott. I'm forgetting who it is now. Just somebody awful they picked over him. And the Orioles did the same thing. The Orioles are like, we'd be better suited with Ramon Urias. And we'd be better with, I think they cut Ryan McKenna, but those type of players. It really, so the positive was there, but I had been talking a lot about Jackson Holliday. So, you know, big, stupid, fat dummy I am.
Yeah, and I think the thing for Victor Scott was they just wanted every day at bats for him and like Newbar's not going to miss much time. Neither is Edmund. So like, I'm not sure about Edmund, I guess, but Newbar's not going to miss a big.
He swung today.
Right. So I think that's the big thing. I mean, they still have Ciani on the rosters. That's probably the guy.
That's who it was. That's the dummy. That's Mike Ciani. They picked over Victor Scott,
but they want Scott to play every single day.
And
when, but when what's his name comes back, then they're going to have when Newbar comes back, then the outfield is, you know, it's Jordan Walker.
Carlson thing. It's Walker. Carlson. They're giving Carlson the center field spot right now until Edmund comes back. And that was the decision.
Like, look, I've got Carlson shares of Victor Scott. So I definitely think he's coming up at some point and probably early, you know, but that was the reasoning is because mainly it was if Newbar was going to miss at least 2 weeks, he probably would have made the roster. But
Newbar
could be back early next week.
Yeah, it looks like he could avoid like IL stuff or it's going to be short stint. Edmund not, but literally it came down to, I think, like what you're saying. They're giving the everyday gig to Carlson early on to see what he has. And then Ciani is better placed as a fourth outfielder. And they let Victor Scott get every day. But it's frustrating.
It is.
Especially the Jackson Holliday one. I would take advantage of it, though. A lot of people have been asking me, like, oh, when do you think this guy and this guy? Two answers. One, I actually just did an article on Fantasy Pros, if you guys want to check it out, the 12 prospects to stash. I'm probably going to be doing that every week, of taking a look at the prospects that are on the precipice, guys you should be taking a look at. And so go read that and give it a million clicks and whatever. And the other point of it is, like, I just think specifically Holliday and Victor Scott are two of the first guys to come up. You know, like if Ramon Urias struggles, if Westberg struggles, any Baltimore struggles, there's only so long that justification of like, well, he's learning a new position and he's got to like really see some more lefty at bats. Like there's only so long that's going to work. Same thing with Victor Scott. Victor Scott is a gold glove defensive type player. His bat has been live all spring. He is probably the fastest guy on that team at any level. So both of those players, if they're not up by May 1st, I would be surprised. But you know what? I kept clamoring for CES last year. I was right about some of them. I was right about like CES and some of those guys, or I'm sorry, Ellie. But CES was one I was like, he's coming, and he just didn't, and it kept getting pushed. So, you know, it's all grain of salt with prospects and stuff. But as exciting as Langford and Churio and like Rafaela were, super, and Jared Jones, we should throw out. Jared Jones made the roster. I've got some shares of. Super disappointed. Holiday one really pissed me off. That was the one.
That was one. I mean, I think it makes the least amount of sense out of all of them, too. So that one, because you're giving those at-bats to Urias, really? Like, at least Carlson, it's like, hey, look, if Carlson plays well, maybe we trade him midway through the season, get ourselves another asset, maybe even if it's a bullpen arm or something. And then we bring up Victor Scott if he's hitting in the minors too. So then we know we can trade from depth, right? Like that one, it even makes sense. Jackson Holliday, what? Why?
Well,
it just doesn't make any sense.
We're really quick, by the way, because they're here. I forgot the Cardinals came to Phoenix and they're like playing a game against the Cubs today.
So weird.
They just reported Carlson jammed his left hand into the ground as he tries to brace himself from being spun on a warning track. After Walker crashed into center field. So just be on the lookout if that could get Victor Scott back up. But that's also how those guys are. And that's like the focus, the focal point. Like, why do you pick those players? Because all it's going to take is one little move, you know. And I think at any position for the Orioles to consider Jackson Holliday and Victor Scott, it's one more. Those outfielders keep dropping like flies. Victor Scott would be the guy if Carlson goes. And I think you keep Mike Cianni there to be the fourth outfielder.
Yeah, because he doesn't have to have everyday playing time because you're getting whatever he is, you've got it. You know, he's had enough time to develop. So
those are frustrating, though. So, but I'm holding on to Jackson Holliday. The opportunities might be acquisition might be a little bit better. Even in redraft, I would consider it. Maybe they get dropped. So be on the lookout for that. Jordan Montgomery is our kind of final unsigned player, but there are rumors, and I read this long ass article about it. If it hasn't been announced, like what the reasoning and why he's not going to sign until opening day. But the rumors are that two teams have long-term offers for him. And there's a couple other teams that are poking around. The rumor though, is the Diamondbacks are interested in Jim Bowden. My buddy, Jim Bowden.
Your best friend.
My best friend, Jim Bowden. He said, don't sleep on the Diamondbacks here. I'm assuming could be one of the two teams that have offered the long-term because in the same breath, the reports say like the Yankees and the Red Sox are two teams that have been tied in. But apparently Montgomery is still tied to, I guess it's the qualifying stuff, like the pick compensation. There's like, you would lose a pick, but that goes away the day opening day hits. So if he signs after opening day,
okay.
You know, when teams have played, then I hope I'm saying this correctly, but it's something along the lines of like this little marker that would cost a team goes away on opening day.
Where was the article you read? Was it on like the Athletic or?
I think it was the Athletic. Okay. Now I wish I should have saved it so I could have given you proper information here, but yeah, it had to do, God, where the hell was it? Oh, I don't know. I'm going to find it. But either way, he won't sign, presumably, until Friday. I think Friday is the day he signs. And I think it happens on a snap. Now, I don't know if like opening day on Thursday he could sign and this doesn't take a mark. I'm assuming it's going to be after opening day.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey,
in this league.
Look at us.
Look at us.
Huh?
Who would have thought?
Not me.
Not me.
Not me.
Who would have thought?
Not me.
Not me.
Look at us.
Look at us.
Who would have thought?
Not me. Not me.
So I think wherever he goes, he signs on Friday. Phillies and Diamondbacks seem likely. And he was ramping up to 75 pitch recently. So,
well,
like,
yeah, I mean, Eduardo went down for the Diamondbacks. I know we talked about him a little bit last week, and you mentioned that his injury isn't expected to be serious. So, but Eduardo Rodriguez is going to start the season on the IL for the D-backs. And Ryan Nelson and Tommy Henry, I mean, especially Tommy Henry, had bad springs, and they're like, right now the fourth and fifth starters for the D-backs. So I think it would make a lot of sense. Get Montgomery in and then maybe hopefully get Eduardo back pretty quick. And then you have a 1-5. You can put those guys that weren't so good in the bullpen, I think is a better idea. So
yeah, and I was telling you, you and I were talking. Here it is. I think I found it. The Diamondbacks, I think they realize they have no depth. Like, it's cool that you have Ryan Nelson and Tommy Henry. Yeah, but
Bryce Jarvis is the next guy up.
That's it. Would you rather have a rotation that goes down to like Fott and Montgomery, and then Tommy Henry and Ryan Nelson are your depth? That's such a better way to go. So this article says, this actually was talking about Philly, and it says camp's interest. Okay, so I think it had to do with a 1-year deal. So check this out. Signing a multi-year pact could certainly make sense for Montgomery, as a southpaw was ineligible to receive a qualifying offer this winter and therefore is likely to see his stock negatively impacted by one in a second trip through free agency. As recently discussed, here it is. Montgomery wouldn't be eligible for a qualifying offer this coming winter if he were to sign with a club after opening day. So okay. If he signs a 1-year deal after opening day, that team wouldn't have
be able to give him a qualifier.
Which is compensation, which hurts him in free agency. That's right. What I'm trying to tell everybody. I was saying that incorrectly.
So who wrote that article? Where was
that? Was MLB Trade Rumors.
Okay.
So, but this was discussed with some writer that was putting this together. So the whole deal is, if he signs after opening day, he can sign a 1-year deal, and then that would not negatively impact him next offseason, which sounds like he doesn't want to take these multi-year deals. And I think the Diamondbacks, the Yankees, those are the teams that would want to offer ones. So my guess is going to be one of two things. It's going to be a 2-year deal with an opt-out, or a 1-year deal and it happens on Friday. Because if it's a 2-year with an opt-out, you got to sign it after opening day, so no qualifying offer. So there you go. Friday, Jordan Montgomery signs. Everyone can be relieved. He will have a team. So draft him with the discount. And it sounds like all the teams he's linked to, great,
pretty good
potential wins. Philly, Arizona, the Yankees, all the maybe the Cardinals, all those teams you should pay attention to. Some other quick hitters here. Corey Seager, Josh Young back in the lineup on Saturday. They good to go. So enjoy that discount you got on Corey Seager. JD Martinez signed with the Mets, and in an article I read, dogged the Giants a little bit, saying the only reason he didn't sign with the Giants, because they offered him, I think, even more money, was how bad the ballpark is. And he said, essentially along the lines of, like, the ballpark is so not hitter friendly that if he put up a mediocre season, people would think he's done. And I think that is, for him, impacting trying to get another deal next year, like a 2-year deal or something.
Is City that much better?
He said literally, like, in the article, he's like, pretty much everywhere but San Francisco, he was willing to go.
Yeah, I mean, that is, I think it's probably the right thing for him, to be honest. You know, obviously he's thinking about his own career more than anything else, and he should. So I still think it's weird that all of these guys not signing, but
I still think it's weird that
at least Montgomery has a reason. The rest of them, wow.
Yeah. Well, I think it's weird that Jock Peterson got $500,000 more than JD Martinez signed for, but who am I to say that that's not the proper thing? Kyle Bradish will be back early in the first half of the season, according to Mike Elias, if you can believe that. So we'll see.
Yeah. And what I mean, it's super vague. What does early in the first half mean? Does that mean June 1st? Is that early? Is that is this like, no, Bill Clinton? What is your definition of the word is?
I feel like, well, you know what? I feel like it's between like May 15th and June 1st. That's something that's like early ish in the first half. So I think he's actually in the dinger contest. I'd draft him there. Or if you can get him and you have an IL spot, I draft him later. But I'd probably have to have 5 or 6 SPs before I consider it in most formats. DJ LeMahieu's going to hit the IL. My boy Anthony Volpe is not going to go to the leadoff, it looks like. It looks like it's going to go to Glaber, but Volpe moving up in the lineup a little bit. So I guess that's a positive. Nolan Jones left Saturday's game with a knee contusion day to day, but looks like everything's okay. I think he said he's good to go.
That looks he'll be scary.
He thought he broke his kneecap, but whatever happened, it was right under his knee. So he's like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, the way it was being read initially was he couldn't put any weight on it and blah, blah, blah. And it was a little bit worrisome, but thankfully contusion is what they say. Nothing broken. So happy about
that. Those tricky contusions. Ian Happ is dealing with left hamstring strain. So I don't know if that were to continue. Maybe they call it Pete Crow. Maybe we'll see what happens to that. Michael Bush for life, though. That's all we care about. Eduardo, as you said, he's going to start on the IL, but he had said he's good. He did an interview where he's like, I'm 95%. So I think they're just being extra cautious. More reason why you go get a guy like Jordan Montgomery. If those injuries are already starting to creep their head around, you got kind of a, you know, Merrill Kelly in their little older part of the rotation. And then finally, Anthony Rizzo was scratched with lat tightness on Friday. Probably something that doesn't affect opening day, I would guess.
Yeah, hopefully not. You know, it's just another thing. So
lots of things, lots of stuff and things. Friendos, let's take a break. When we come back, we are going to go through our season predictions. Who wins what division? Whom is your home run leader? Who wins rookie of the year? We're going to do all those. Then we're going to talk about the players that we have the most shares of. I am happy to report Archie Bradley is not at the top of my list this year. I have some good named players who are at the tippy top of my most owned. So I will take that. But let's take a break. When we come back, it's prediction time right here on ITL.
Hey,
in this league.
Look at us. Look at us. Huh? Who would have thought?
Not me. Not me. Not me.
Who would have thought?
Not me. Not me.
Look at us.
Look at us.
Who would have thought?
Not me. Not me.
All righty, Boggs. We are going to be looking at all the divisional stuff all the way up until the World Series. We will look at positional stat leaders, which I actually dipped my toe in a tiny bit this year. I don't do a ton of futures. I want to get into it more. I think futures betting takes a good pre-bankroll. So like,
right,
I usually go into a season with a bankroll of like, this is what I'm going to do in season. But I think your futures has to be different than that. So you got to be a little bit more flush. That's just my opinion. You can still have fun, by the way, and go and take $50 and make like, you know, a couple $10 bets on blah, blah, blah. But you can only really do that with awards. You start getting into like, who's going to lead, you know, or would this guy have this many home runs and it's minus money? Like, it's not worth making a lot of those. So,
well, yeah. It ties up your money for the whole season, which is the big thing. But the other thing is like, okay, well, this is near the, maybe it's not near the top number of what the guy can do or what he did do even last year. Cause usually you look at the number and it's fairly tantalizing, but one hamstring strain, you know, and the dude is going to come in under that most likely. So it's, you know, you're waging that through the whole entire season, which can be nerve-wracking.
Well, so. I actually don't think the like guy to hit this many homers numbers are tantalizing. They're pretty rough numbers and you just got to feel calm, and they're all minus stuff. You know, Judge is like 41 and a half homers. Maybe you found that tantalizing or whatever, but it's like minus 120 for him to hit over that. And it's like, for it to be worth it, you'd probably have to bet 4 or 5 units to really.
I would rather bet on him to lead the league in homers because that's almost always plus.
And those are better. Yeah. So like I have a Cy Young award winner bet. I have 3 rookie of the year bets, 1 in the AL and 2 in the NL.
Actually, Judge is the favorite and he's plus 350 to lead the league.
Yeah, it's not bad. So. And then I do have a singular bet that I put more money on for a certain player to hit their number of homers. I haven't bet on the most homers yet, but we'll kind of take a look at some of those. The other thing I have not bet on is I haven't made any bets on these teams, this guy to win the division or this guy to get to the World Series or the World Series winner. And I just don't know where I'm going to jump into it, but let's talk about where we think all the divisions are going to go. And let's kick it to the AL East, which is always tough. Red Sox, Rays, okay. They might get some guys at the back half of the year that could help for a playoff push. Yankees, they look a little stalled. Who am I forgetting? Blue Jays, they're Baltimore. Okay. Yeah. And then Baltimore. Like, there doesn't seem like an overwhelming favorite like usual in this division, but there's definitely the Red Sox look like they're going to play down. So what direction did you go in the AL East?
I'm going to go Baltimore. I think it's going to be, to me, this boils down to between Baltimore and the Yankees, because the Yankees are spending. Stanton had a great spring. Like, they look good. Judge is healthy after a shaky health spring or whatever. So they're very, very good. But Cole, the ace, got hurt. Baltimore traded for Burns. Baltimore is also loaded with prospects. They can trade for whatever they need down the stretch should anybody get hurt. So that's why I'm picking Baltimore to win the East.
I'm going to go with the New York Yankees on this one. I don't feel super confident about it. Anytime you do this, by the way, this is where the Rays just pop up and all of a sudden Yandy Diaz is your MVP leader. But, you know, I love the addition of Juan Soto. I think offensively they still have depth. They're going to get Jason Dominguez back midseason. I do think there are obvious problems with the rotation, losing Gerrit Cole. But I kind of still think they're going to, I think something's in the works. Like, I think something's going to happen. They're going to make a trade. Maybe they're the ones that get Jordan Montgomery. I don't think anybody in that division is good enough to dominate the division.
By the way, every team is plus. If you're looking, I'm looking at DK. It's plus 185 for the Yankees and Orioles, 400 for the Jays, 550 for the Rays, and 1700 for the Red Sox.
I mean, the Rays one is, what'd you say? 450 for the Rays?
550.
That's not a bad bet. Any of those guys
I don't like the Rays. Betting it, yeah, because like Glasnow's gone. Wander Franco was the face of that organization, gone. You know, like they just have a lot to recover from this year.
I'm not betting on them, sure. But they've got pieces coming back. And that's the thing with
still
the Yankees.
Good team.
Is to me, the Yankees have the firepower to make the moves. You're going to get Gerrit Cole back, decent bullpen. I don't think they're actually the best at this moment in the division, but my point is I don't think anybody runs away with it. I will tell you, I did have Baltimore as this, and Baltimore is going to be one of my wild cards because I do think Baltimore is great and they have been aggressive.
And I will have the Yankees as a wild card.
Yeah.
They're so like, very good. Yeah.
If this were to switch and Baltimore wins the division and the Yankees are two, okay, that's fine too. But like, I'm just going to say that the Yankees will get hyper aggressive, especially if they lose a couple games early.
Toronto's very good too, but they've had injuries in the rotation already. So
yeah, I don't know. Like maybe it's me being silly. I just don't buy into the Blue Jays being super dominant this year. But, yeah. You know, Bo Bichette turns it around. We'll see. Let's go to the AL Central. What do you got?
I'm going to take the Twins in that division. That division is one of the worst to pick, I think. The Twins are minus to win, minus 115. So you're not getting good payoff. So it's not a bet I would actually make. Detroit is plus 350. Cleveland's plus 350. The Royals, who a lot of people think could snake this division because it's not very powerful, are plus 850. And then the White Sox are rebuilding, but they're plus 4,000. So, I like the Twins. It's boring, but I think it's kind of one of the more obvious ones.
Yeah, I think they're definitely up there. I actually struggle with this division. It's been in my head for quite some time with Justin Mason, who was on Pros with me. You know, one of his bold predictions was the Royals win the division. I can see it. They're plus 850, by the way.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What is this?
It's In This League.
What? How can we be expected to teach
Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh
to learn how to read if they can't even fit inside the building?
In This League.
It has to be at least 3 times bigger than this.
Really? I could see them winning it in some space behind Reagans and Michael Walker, I think, is underrated, and Lugo. It's a boring, like, it's kind of a boring team outside of Bobby Witt. It's just, you know, it's the Pasquantinos and the Michael Masseys and stuff like that. You'd love for them to make a move or two. I don't know if they ever will, but I'm going to pivot off of that. Minnesota, I think, is an easy play. I'm going to go with Cleveland, though, because I think when you do get guys like Manzardo and DeLauder up there, it helps. I think the rotation, Gavin Williams gets healthy. Bieber, he needs to get healthy, and he's getting healthy soon. McKenzie back. Bieber looks better than ever. You've got a world-class closer. If they're in it, they're not going to move Class A. I'm going to go with Cleveland, and I love Josh Naylor, being a surprise team in this division, but I would not be surprised if Minnesota won it either. AL West, we're both going with Texas.
Yeah, well, first of all, they beat our team in the World Series, so got to pay respects, right? But also, you know, it's between Houston and Texas, easy. Seattle's very good too, but I think there's enough taken off that offense for me to not really put them in the Texas or Houston category. I just think Texas has more options at starters if starters go down than the Astros do. So I think the lineup may be a little bit better for Houston, but I think the rotation is a little bit better for Texas. So give me Texas.
Yeah. And rotation wise, they're going to get DeGrom back. They're going to get Scherzer back. DeGrom.
Tyler Molly is going to come back at some point too. He's not bad as like a.
He's all right.
Okay. Well, you can say, but it's another option is what I'm saying. Like, and the pitchers go down. so much. Pitchers, you know, they're taking 2 more seconds off the pitch clock, and guys don't like worrying about that. And that has led to more arm injuries too. So I just think Texas has more depth in the rotation. I think the starters are probably better right now for Houston. But if those big guys get hurt, if Framber gets hurt, if Verlander gets hurt and misses even more time, then I don't know what they're doing. I think Texas has other options. That's all.
Yeah, I think Texas is in a good spot. They're going to have guys that are going to come back. They've got trading power if they want to do it. They're going to be financially positioned to be more aggressive after winning a World Series.